Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to Abraham, "Here I am," he replied. And God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. You go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there to burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took him, two of his servants, and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up, saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you."
Today, a little donkey takes us up a mountain to witness one of the most pivotal moments in the life of one of the most defining people of the Bible. Today, our story comes from Genesis, as Abraham loads up his donkey with firewood and asks his son Isaac to take a walk with him. Little do Isaac and the donkey know, this is intended to be a one-way trip for Isaac. Now, when Christians think about the key figure of the Bible, we often think about Jesus. When the books of the New Testament were gathered together and added to the scriptures of the Hebrew Bible, we tend to think about and focus on the stories of the Gospels, of Jesus. When we do think about the Hebrew Bible, which is sometimes called the Old Testament, which tells you that we have certainly focused on Jesus and set these other stories in the past, when we think about the Hebrew Bible, Moses is the person that most often comes to mind, and for good reason. I mean, Moses is credited with writing the first five books, including Genesis, where our scripture today resides. I mean, it's Moses' work leading the Hebrew people out of Egypt that defines so many aspects of the Hebrew scriptures and ritual life together. But we must not forget who Moses was freeing. The people in Egypt that he would lead through the Exodus had to come from somewhere. And as it turns out, they were the 12 tribes descended from Abraham. Abraham was the patriarch that defined the Hebrew people before their shared experience of the Exodus. Abraham and Sarah, originally Abram and Sarai, were chosen by God to be the starting point of a people. Their story has many important moments, but today we focus on a crucial morning atop a mountain. The morning that Abraham almost killed his son. After decades of wanting children, after waiting for God's promise that he and Sarah would have descendants, Abraham and Sarah finally have a son together. His name is Isaac, and that name means laughter, because Sarai laughed when she heard God's messenger say that she would have a child. She was too old. Their efforts to have a son also brought Ishmael into the world. We shouldn't overlook Ishmael. Abraham, according to common practice at the time, had a child with his wife's servant when his wife could not get pregnant. Ishmael and his mother Hagar were then sent away when the dynamics of the family reached a tipping point. So now we have Abram, Sarah, and Isaac living life together. And one day, just as God had first spoken to Abram, he hears God speaking again. But this time, God asks Abraham to take his son Isaac to the top of a mountain and offer him as a sacrifice. God is asking Abraham to kill his son. So Abraham loads up his donkey with wood for the fire that will burn that offering and begins the trek up the mountain. The boy is curious. One can only assume he's in a good mood, playfully coming along on the trip, picking up stones and sticks and throwing them around. I mean, they usually take a lamb or a goat with them, something to offer. "Dad, what are we offering today?" Today they have no such offering with them. When he asks his father, the only reply he gets is, "God will provide the offering." When they arrive, they leave the donkey and the other servants behind them and they finish the walk together, just father and son. At the height of this story, we find Isaac bound on a pile of wood, his father with a knife in the air, as a heavenly messenger intervenes only moments before Abraham would have killed Isaac. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from him your son, your only son," the messenger says. Just then Abraham sees a ram caught in a thicket. And just as he'd said in what originally was a lie to Isaac, God does now provide the offering. A quick aside, there are plenty of preachers and Sunday school teachers who love to connect this story with the crucifixion. They claim that this story is foreshadowing for God providing Jesus as a sacrifice to spare humanity. I adamantly disagree with such interpretations. The stories of the Hebrew Bible were not written for us. They are not a prolonged setup for the Christian story. We can look back and say our Christian story shares themes and motifs with these Hebrew scriptures. I would say they do so intentionally in how they were written. But to minimize the Hebrew scriptures as simply a prologue for our Christian existence is incorrect. Now, back to Genesis. This is an incredibly difficult story to read as a contemporary audience. The idea of God asking Abraham to kill his son is troubling beyond words. The thought that Abraham would be willing to do so is unfathomable. The realization this story is in the scriptures as a celebration of Abraham's faith is confounding. And once again, we are reminded this scripture wasn't written down with us in mind. This story was told around campfires in a different time. The story of Abraham and Isaac was told in a time when child sacrifice actually occurred. For the Hebrew people hearing this story, it was a testament that they would not kill their children to appease some deity in the sky, because their God had said no to this practice. It marked them as different from the religions around them. It was also a tale that demonstrated Abraham's commitment at a time when faithfulness was honored above all else. Abraham was faithful, just as God was faithful. Attributing such a story as this to Abraham then sets the bar for what it looks like to trust God. Abraham did as God asked, so we should do as God asks. We, however, are not limited to a couple of dream-based conversations and one visit from an angel when it comes to what God asks of us. We have so much more to lean on as we determine what God truly asks of us. We have the words of the prophet Micah. "What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God?" We have the divine instruction in Deuteronomy. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And we have Christ's addition to love our neighbors as ourselves. These are expressions of the divine that Abraham did not have in that moment. Abraham, as the story tells us, only had an instruction. When I think about the morning the donkey carried that wood up the mountain, as Isaac joyfully came along, excited to be invited to help, my contemporary brain does not find the same message the story originally intended. Where the original storytellers, authors, and audience had a different context and different worldviews, I cannot get to a place of celebrating Abraham's faithfulness in a willingness to kill his son. I see a relationship that in that moment was broken beyond repair. Hear this interesting piece. Abraham and Isaac never speak again in our scriptures for the remainder of their lives together. In that moment, Abraham chose rules over relationship. I approach this scripture in a very different time, in a very different way. I am one who will choose relationship over rules, a conversation we will dig into next week with a new donkey tale. For today, we sit in the discomfort of a story not originally written for us, but a story that still holds a place in our scriptures. Now, this is not the only scripture in our Bible, the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament, that sits outside of our contemporary understanding today. And that's why it's so important that we take time to engage this story and consider it. Our scriptures are divinely inspired, and they carry wisdom that has been handed down age after age. And it's now been handed to us to apply our wisdom. We're charged with asking how tradition and experience and reason can inform these scriptures. We're asked to look at a story like today's and hold the tension that exists within it. It is a great tension to listen for and to honor the originally intended message of this story, while also naming that God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son, even as a test, is wrong. That's an uncomfortable sentence to write, read, and record as a preacher. God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son, even as a test, is wrong. But it's not as heretical as it sounds. This story exists to tell its original audience that God will not ask them to sacrifice their children. It exists, as many origin tales do, to establish an exaggerated quality in its hero. Abraham was faithful. And so as readers, we are invited to be faithful. Not faithful to a request to sacrifice a loving relationship, but to be faithful to the broader will of God, to the heart of the divine revealed across many stories, not just one. We're invited to be faithful to that instruction, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself, to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with our God, and as our Methodist heritage names it, to do all the good we can, by all the means we can, in all the ways we can, in all the places we can, at all the times we can, to all the people we can, as long as ever we can. And we need not have a donkey carry firewood up a mountain for us to do these things and be faithful to such instruction. Amen.